Blog Talk Radio.
Era notte a târziu.
It was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că n-o fă la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stam și mă gândeam ce-am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Și odată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why'd you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Te-am adus aici, că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă arzi aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu?
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pentru.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am Michael Boldea, your host. And if you can't tell it, I am feeling a bit under the weather. Started coughing earlier today, a little feverish. So Gino's on standby, and he's going to take over the rest of the program that I can't fill, because if I start having coughing fits, well, that's not what you tuned in for. So that's the situation at hand. Wish it weren't so. I thought I'd get through this season without having a cold, but here we are. It's never funny. You get through it, and that's that, and you press on. Now, there's a lot that's been going on in this nation. There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of people that are insisting that they have the cure, they have the remedy, they know how to fix what's broken. And if within the list that they lay out, a return to godliness is not first and foremost, if within the list that they lay out, repentance is not center stage, if within the list that they lay out, they do not speak of the violence that we're seeing in this nation being a direct result of our distancing ourselves from God as a nation, then they're just blowing hot air. You can arm teachers, you can ban guns, you can sit on your head and say the alphabet backwards. It's still not going to do anything to help the root cause of the situation. the root cause of why we're seeing what we're seeing is a complete and utter disconnect between understanding the beauty that is life and cherishing it. And especially young people, what people in general are seeing life as in this present generation. You see, up until about 30, 40 years ago, even the godless had an appreciation for life. Even the godless understood that life was a precious thing that was worth defending, because when the call came and men volunteered to go to war against the Nazis, it wasn't just Christians that went to war. It was people who understood inherently that evil must be stopped. And the only way that you can stop evil is with commensurate force. You cannot reason with evil. You cannot evil. You must crush evil. You must utterly destroy it. Because if you do not, then evil will destroy you. So I'm sitting here watching and listening to all the plans that both sides have come up with of how to keep our children safe. And no, again, full disclosure, I don't own a gun. But I do not believe that taking people's guns away will be a remedy for gun violence. Do I plan on purchasing a gun eventually? I do, because we moved into a house. We're in a semi-secluded neighborhood. And you never know. It's good to have. There's been a cougar that was spotted looking through people's windows not 15, 20 miles from here. There's a pack of coyotes that apparently like to roam the countryside. So I'm not talking about having a firearm just to shoot at somebody that's trying to break into my house. Lord forbid. Now, granted, I do say this without reservation. If I think you mean to do harm to my family, I will introduce you personally to Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. I don't understand these Christians that, well, you're not supposed to do anything. Just sit in the corner and watch somebody violate your wife and murder your children because Christians aren't supposed to do anything. Who said? Who said? If I believe for an instant that you intend to do my family harm, I will put you in the dirt, or at least do my utmost to do it. One of us isn't seeing another sunrise. Because my duty before God is to protect my family. My duty before God is to provide for my family. And when that word provide is used in the gospel, it goes beyond just food and shelter. It also means protection. So, yes, I do believe in one's right to defend themselves. And I think if we start going down this road, the other side will never be satisfied. Now, I know that there are some, well, why do Christians and guns make such good bedfellows? We don't, not really. But we've seen history play out over and over again, wherein once the populace was disarmed, a tyrannical government could do whatever it wanted. See, the reason that Hitler was successful, the reason that Stalin was successful, the reason that Pol Pot was successful, the reason that Fat Jung Young's grandpa was successful in North Korea was because the populace was disarmed. And a disarmed populace, the mercy of those who have the weaponry. Now, what baffles the mind, and look, I understand and I sympathize. All right, these kids went through something traumatic, but the way CNN is whoring these children out, and the way some of them have taken to apparently being the mouthpieces now for how to fix America. You learned how to wipe less than a decade ago. I don't think you're in a position to tell anybody how to fix America. But see, they're being elevated and vaulted. They're being given airtime as though these children are somehow superior of intellect. And from what I've been reading, the mass media is doing something very sneaky here. If any of the children that went to this school put forth a pro-gun narrative, they are summarily dismissed. They are summarily rejected. They're not given airtime. So you have this lunatic child with a shaved head that apparently thinks that her opinion matters more than anyone, and she can scream her way to gun control. And man, everybody's giving this lunatic airtime. Look, the adults need to be in charge here. And if the adults allow themselves to be browbeaten and guilted into overreacting, and couple that with legalizing, what, 10, 12, 20, 40 million illegals, as the title of a book so aptly says, Adios America. So this is a serious issue, and I find the timing of this, let's just say, surreal. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but just when the dam was about to break, just when we were about to be regaled with the true depth of corruption going on in Washington, this shooting in Florida has now overtaken the narrative, and there's nothing else anyone's talking about other than gun control. And what I find off-putting is the disingenuousness of politicians in general. Look, if you truly believe in the notion of gun control, then whether or not you get reelected shouldn't matter. Whether or not you have another 4 years in power shouldn't matter. Go with your conviction, son. Put forth an amendment or an amendment to the Second Amendment, I guess, a constitutional amendment. See where that gets you. And see, they haven't played this out to the end. And they really do believe that hashtags and screechy voices will compel people to give up their guns. I'm sorry, but the generation that's up and coming, the lunacy that they're exhibiting makes me want to buy a lot of ammunition, even though I don't have a gun. When I see that the only thing coming out of their maws is socialism and naked communism, where the motherland pays for everything and you just sit there and learn how to make bead necklaces out of whale blubber, I'm sorry. I'm not about to give up my right to defend my family from your lunacy. So, and I know I'm going to get blowback on this, but it's, look, there's a time and place for everything. I'm not going to try to spiritualize this. This is a practical human being speaking on practical issues. A man who has two daughters and a wife that he needs to protect. And I think if we start going down the road of controlling firearms, it's never going to end until, knock, knock, hello, can you please surrender the firearm you purchased on this date and time? So now, do I think that 18-year-olds should be able to buy guns? Not really. Because let's face it, we were all 18. We weren't what we would call fully formed mentally. Some of us at 18 were a little hot-headed. Other of us, others didn't quite make the right choices at 18. And so, should the age be 21? Most likely. I'd go one further. If you don't pay taxes, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. How do you like them apples? I think anyone that contributes to the infrastructure of this nation, anyone that contributes should have the full power of the Second Amendment behind them. If you contribute to this nation, then you have a right to defend yourself and your nation from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. But see, we don't believe that there are domestic enemies anymore. We just think the other side is misunderstood. No, they're communists. The other side is not misunderstood. The other side hasn't failed to clarify their position. They're naked communists, and they know that in order to impose their will, in order to have their utopia, they need to remove the citizenry's ability to defend itself from tyranny. And this is why they're pushing it, because one big glaring difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is that the Democrats are okay with long-term goals. See, they know that eventually another Democrat will win the White House. They know that eventually Democrats will likely control a majority of the Senate or a majority of the House of Representatives. And so they're forward planning this. It's not like they want it done tomorrow. It's not like they want it done the day after, but they want to set the foundation. Because if you start going down the slippery slope of control, they may not be able to get everything they want right now. But come the day you have a Democrat in the White House and you have a Democrat Senate majority and a Democrat House majority, just imagine the beautiful laws they can pass. See, this is why you have to understand the genius of this nation's founding and respect it for what it is and not try to tinker with it, because it's tinker-proof. When you try to tinker with it, you destroy the intent of what this nation was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. We weren't supposed to have monarchs. Nancy Pelosi wasn't supposed to be able to look her nose down at us and call us peasants and flippantly say, what, $1,000 in bonus? Crumbs. Nothing. I wipe the poop of my dog off my shoe with $1,000. Yeah. Elected official who thinks themselves not just above reproach, but above the law, who thinks that they are now monarchs, and so they can dictate to you, the common folk. They can dictate to you, peasants. And you have absolutely no choice but to shut up and take it. And they know that it would be so much easier if they could take away the citizenry's right to protect themselves. Because, you know, what do you need a gun for? You can call the police. I'm sorry, if anyone's to blame in this entire scenario with the school shooting, looking at every angle of this, bearing this thing out piece by piece, it's the FBI. Somebody dropped the ball, and they dropped it hard. Because you don't go to somebody's house 32 times. That's how many times the police was called to this young man's house that did the shooting in Florida, 32 times. Somebody actually took the time to call the FBI and say, hey, I think this guy's planning on doing something very, very bad. And what happened? Nobody cared. So when you take all of this into account, when you see the situation contextually, you begin to wonder if all the conspiracy theories that are floating around out there really have a grain of truth in them. Because there's no excuse for the Federal Bureau of the Eye to drop the ball the way they did. Honestly, someone took the time. They saw enough signs. They saw enough warning. They saw enough danger in what this young man was doing day in and day out, that they took time out of their schedule to call the FBI and say, hey, keep an eye on this nutburger. He made YouTube videos, Facebook posts, talking about how he was going to be a school shooter. And nothing. So before CNN and Anderson Cooper and the rest of the lot push for taking away my right to defend my family, I don't know, maybe insist that the police do its job. Maybe insist that if somebody calls and says, hey, I think this guy's a risk and a danger, look into it a little bit. You know, between donut breaks and whatnot. Because it's not as though you're doing voluntary service. You get paid. You get good pension. But you're supposed to produce something from the money that you make off the taxpayers' back. You're supposed to be able to protect the citizenry and actually take threats seriously and actually look into the matter and actually arrest people that need to be arrested. Why is it that we always wait till after the fact? It's after we spilled the milk that we bemoan the fact that the pitcher was broken. A lot of this stuff could have been prevented, kids. This particular one should have been prevented had the FBI and the local police done its job. That's the reality. So 17, 18 people are pushing up daisies because bureaucrats didn't know how to do their job. But see, it's easier to blame the guns, isn't it? It's the guns' fault. Guns are inanimate objects. If I really want to kill somebody, I don't need a gun. You cannot ban everything that can cause the death of another individual. It just can't. What, are you going to start banning paring knives next? Box cutters, what are you going to ban? What was it? A few years ago, one guy in China with a couple knives wounded like 28 people. So, before we go down the road of, we need to ban it all, let's understand the full depth of what that would mean. And understand that there are people in this nation waiting in the wings, people in the shadows trying to pull strings that would love nothing more than to see your rights to defend your family taken away from you. And again, I repeat this because I know it's going to come back. I say this as someone who does not own a firearm at this moment. I do not. Never saw the need for it. We were living in an apartment building. We had neighbors to the left and to the right. Never saw the need for it. Now that we moved to a house, I'm considering it. But see, even though I don't have a gun, I like to know that my Second Amendment right is there if ever I need or feel the need to purchase one. So we're still, every single week, man, it's something. And they're pushing the narrative and they're pushing the agenda. And now that Russia died, they're looking for something else to shift the focus. Now that they were getting close to indicting Democrats, what was it that Mueller and the gang came out saying? No American. American is knowingly guilty of anything. Now, you know they did that. They gave up the potential of actually indicting someone in the Trump camp in order to protect the behinds of the previous administration. Because that's what happened here. The collusion wasn't on the Republican side. The collusion with the Russians was on the Democratic side, and this is coming out. But in order to protect those people from prosecution, they came out and said, well, no American knowingly cooperated. So sorry. Well, but they did. They did. They knowingly financed this dossier. They knowingly sent people to Europe trying to find photographs of Russian prostitutes urinating on a bed. So don't tell me that no American knowingly colluded with the Russians. You discovered that it wasn't the American you wanted to be guilty of collusion. And so now you backtrack and you simplify. And what was it? They indicted some 13 Russians that they're never going to be able to prosecute, because guess what? They ain't here. They're back in Mother Russia. And if you do the math, because this, I don't take anything at face value anymore. I'm too old for that. If you do the math, these supposed influencers of the U.S. elections spent roughly $3,000 per state in order to swing the U.S. elections. $3,000 in Facebook ads. Now, if that's not laughable on its face, I really don't know what to tell you. But as far as I'm concerned, that's just hilarity. So I'm going to hand it over to Gino right now because I'm about to go on a coughing fit. I'm going to stay on the line, and if I have to jump in, I will jump in once in a while. But yeah, Gino, it's yours. I'm going to mute my mic and go cough.
All right. Thank you, Michael, so much. I want to reiterate what Mike's been saying. And, you know, sometimes people have that thought, you know, Christians shouldn't arm themselves or Christians. But, you know, defending yourself is a God-given right. And faith in your family, it's very important to realize that our country needs to turn back and let God in the schools again. I'm going to come from that platform, because I think Mike solidly conveyed the thought that the FBI and others dropped the ball. We've been reading reports where, as Mike said, they were called to the home over 20 times. My question is, how much alerting do you have to get before you actually do something? And that's a sad disposition, again, that the FBI learned January 5th that a person had turned this Cruz guy in. And so there was ample amount of forewarning. But I want to go down the road of saying that, you know, in the early 1960s, we started to take God and prayer out of schools. And by the early 1970s, it was pretty well completely removed. I believe without a doubt, when you're educating your kids for 12 years in public school, and our country was founded on freedom of faith, and our forefathers wanted to provide even Christian principle and Christian teaching in school, and that's why the Ivy League schools were once schools that had Bible study and Bible classes. Believe it or not, over 100 years ago, Harvard had a Bible teaching classes and Bible courses. And these East Coast colleges, Yale, Harvard, and others, were places that were set up by people in ministry or missions or people that were involved in church leadership. And they originally were set up to propagate the faith and to propagate Christian teachings and principles. And, of course, now you see that there are some of the most liberal colleges in the country. And the thought of going on these campuses giving a spiritual talk, or at least a solidly biblical speech, and defending Christian principles, you would probably be not allowed. And even in a clandestine manner, if you tried something like that, you'd probably be, you know, sent out on, you know, just kicked out. And so we've taken God and we've taken prayer out of schools. We've taken the things of God out of public school because prayer was so important as a foundation for kids to start their day in school with a prayer. It wasn't forced on them, but it was part of, just like the Pledge of Allegiance, part of the protocol. And we say we're a Judeo-Christian country. We say that we're founded in God We Trust, and a nation that is founded through the, you know, God-given freedom that He gave us, with our, which our forefathers defended and stood up for. And so, since we have done this in our schools, look at the direction they have gone. There was a kid in Florida. He wrote Jesus. He wrote the word Jesus on a piece of paper, and the teacher saw that, grabbed the paper, threw it on the floor, and stomped on it. So there's been kids try to have, in Michigan, a young person tried to have Bible study over lunch. And kids wanted to be part of it. It's lunchtime. It's not infringing on the curriculum. And he was castigated by the leadership of the schools and the principal and superintendent, and told that he couldn't do that. And thankfully, enough people called the district, complained about it, to say, you know what, he should have the right on his lunch break to have a Bible study with those kids that would like to do that. And I believe that he was vindicated. There is numerous examples across our country where you can bring a Quran to a school, but you cannot, you know, they will frown on a Bible being brought to school. And we've just seen the denigration of Christian values, and so our kids are in schools where the prayer and other principles like this have been taken out. And I would like to surmise to say it has had a great effect on our institutions of learning. And our colleges have become incredibly liberal to the point that, let's just say that looking at Trump getting elected and then people wanting to go to certain campuses to speak on political events and ideology, like Ann Coulter and others, they are practically got to go in with a police escort. And when they share their message, they, first of all, weeks prior to that, there's protests and there's all this activism to keep them from going and speaking at these campuses, whether Berkeley, whether other ones around the country. And then when they do, they almost have to have armed security to do it. And we're getting the effects and reaping as a country what happens when you remove God out of important foundations. Education is, to me, one of the most important foundations of children, of young adults, of teens. And, you know, when we went to Romania and when freedom came in, I happened to be at the orphanage with Virginia, and she said, Gino, there's a man from the school here that wants to talk to us, from the local Bodoshan. I believe he was from the high school. And would you believe, and this is a country who left communism and now has freedom. And when they became free in early 1990, they played the Jesus movie. Yes, they did. I went there with Dimitri and a team 6 months after the curtain fell, Ceausescu was put to death, and they played the Jesus movie on public TV. And they felt the victory of becoming a free country was God ordained, and it happened to be that way because God had spoken through some churches that soon the tree, the leader of Romania, would be cut down and Romania would have freedom. God-given, God prophetically speaking, and God opening the door to give Romania freedom, and then in the country's thanks and adulation of getting this freedom, they allowed on their public channels the playing of the Jesus movie, and it went on for many, many nights. So Virginia and I met with this high school teacher, and you know what he asked for? Bibles. He said, we want Bibles in our school with our kids. And he meant it. He wanted to have the Word of God. He explained that we went all this time under persecution because of the things of God, the Bible, etc. We now have freedom, and he was delightedly saying, these kids want to learn something from the Bible. In fact, I would go so far as to say that on some trips in Romania, some of those teachers would come to our ministry orphanage and that in Botoşan, and they would want someone to come to these classes and share once in a while. But this teacher wanted Bibles, and absolutely we were happy because Dimitru bought a slew of Romanian Bibles. We were happy to fill the order and to accommodate this teacher. And all through Romania, all I heard as we traveled for about 3 weeks, where did we meet to do evangelism meetings? Schools. We met in schools. Many schools where we had a team of preachers and musicians share the gospel. And there would be at even little venues, 200-300 people wanting to hear the gospel, and we didn't get railroaded out by the superintendent or the school board. You try to do that in America right now and hold some form of spiritual meeting like that, and I tried to do it in my hometown about a year and a half ago when some kids hit a tree in our town, and two of them died, and three girls were seriously injured. I offered to do a Christian concert in our hometown at the high school, and the high school said, we'll get back with you after I shared the details, and let me know a few days later that we cannot allow things that involve Jesus or spiritually mentioning those things to have a concert in our school like that. And so they didn't allow the concert in the school. I'm going to tell you what, look at the difference between what happened in Romania and what's happening now. This is sad that countries and Russia, let's talk about Russia a minute, because Russia is having a major church growth things. They can't build churches fast enough right now in Russia. There's a move of God going on. And I know we're in an animosity with Russia, and absolutely politically you can see the tension and all that. But they're fighting for the faith. For what? Faith that involves the family. They have laws on their books that you cannot have a gay pride parade, and you cannot solicit pornographic or homosexual materials. And Lord forbid that if in American schools you try to hinder the gay LGBTQ groups and you try to hinder groups that are pro-gay this, pro-gay that, they will call you a bigot and a racist and homophobe. Yet in Russia, this country, you can't do those things, and you can't go to public schools and put these kind of groups together. Look at the absolute opposite mentality that we have in the United States. Look at the difference in countries that didn't have the blessing and freedom that God gave America, and look at what we're doing with it. Look, how do you, in a Christian country, say that having prayer in public school is such a bad thing? How do you, in a Christian country, consider having the Bible as a reference book and a book of teaching, which no other book has better teaching than the Bible for morals, for ethics, for values, for integrity? And these Ivy League colleges that once promoted the Bible and had Even in the United States in the old days, they taught English by using the Bible. And I'm just saying we have flip-flopped so far that now the Christian things and things of God and spiritual things are being thrown out and being trampled. And I believe there's a spiritual end of this component that is affecting the spiritual condition of our schools. If they become breeding grounds, as many have become, of liberal thought, anti-God thought, or anti-Bible, or anti-prayer, or we can't allow anything spiritual like this in our buildings, look at the vacuum. Who will fill that vacuum? You know, the enemy will try to fill those vacuums, and liberalism will try to fill those vacuums. And we need to return to God. We need our country, as our ministry has been propagating the need for repentance. I think we should be very saddened, and the church should be very saddened that we lost that battle. That when these battles come up, and Mike spoke on it several times on his radio show in the last few months, the church has to stop being silent, be proactive. As he mentioned last Thursday, when it came to Joyce Behar coming out and blasting Mike Pence's faith and believing that Jesus can speak to his children, which is, by the way, biblical. My sheep hear my voice. And same thing with public schools. You know, we need the church and Christians again to be very adamant that, you know what, our school boards and our entities like that, we need more Christians involved and more Christians a part of it. Yes, we could gain lost ground, I believe, with God's help. I believe we can gain land back in a spiritual sense that the devil's taken or tried to, you know, destroy. And the foundation of prayer and the Bible are important in education. And I believe you're not going to learn any more clearer Christian and solid values than the Word of God. And so getting to the point, I wanted to just talk about that because that's important. But I want to also stress another point about Romania, getting back to that. So we had evangelism meetings throughout the country and in public schools and culture halls. You didn't need 10 permits. You didn't need to go through all this politicism to get the buildings. Do you want to know what was amazing? They actually wanted Christian ministry in these places. They actually wanted, there was a move of God in Romania. You could feel it throughout the country that God had done this great miracle, and there was a great excitement in the country to evangelize and use these public buildings and use these resources. And with my own eyes, I got to see hundreds and hundreds of people jump over each other in these public places for a Bible. And when they heard the gospel and the good news of Jesus, I saw hundreds, if not thousands, come to Christ. And so many came to the Lord that when Dimitri would start going back after doing these meetings, which I know he did several years of taking teams over and doing evangelism, pastors would come and say, you know what, we've got all these people. We've had a house church. We've had a, you know, small church here or there. And that's when Hand of Help got involved with building churches and helping them get their own building. I happened to go to a culture hall in Constanza where we did a meeting after Freedom came in. And they estimated the crowd size at 1,800 people. And Dimitri brought a team of preachers and music, choir. Always like to take a choir. I saw so many young people there. And I know that as I was playing a song in that hall, I couldn't hardly stop from breaking down and saying, this is a move of God. You felt it. You could feel that the beauty of getting freedom for the first time, it was palatable in the air. And when the choir would sing and brothers would preach, it was so powerful, the hunger, the fervor of these youth. And many kids that came from the local colleges that came out to these meetings. And in that meeting in Constanza, I saw hundreds come to the altar. I'll never forget it. It was the most amazing thing. I know we had several hundred Bibles that were passed out. And with my own eyes, I witnessed an incredible hunger and desire for Jesus. And this is something our country, unfortunately, in our nation, you would never think in American schools they took prayer out. Think about the absolute incredible sadness that something so beautiful and valued in Romania, when they didn't have it, was not valued and considered very important and foundational in a country that's had freedom for over 200 years. And that is why it's so important when Mike talks about defending the faith. You know, some people think, and this is a little sidebar now, and we'll get into the Joyce Behar thing a minute, but, you know, he talked about standing up for God. I want to tell you that over 25,000 people called last week, ABC Studios, and complained about Joyce Behar slamming our faith and what we believe. So many people called that it did have an effect. I wish, as Mike mentioned, it would have been in the hundreds of thousands, if not more. And I'm shocked that when they take polls in America, the amount of people that say they're Christians in America, the number's astronomical. Yet, in matters that are so important to the faith and our foundations, very few of those numbers will be proactive and speak up and defend the values that Jesus Christ told us to defend the faith. Paul and others, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you. And we're at war with these we're not at war, but the devil is at war with these values, very important values. And I would urge people that in your local communities, when you get a text or an email, hey, they want to allow boys in the girls' bathroom, and hey, they want to allow pot being smoked here or allowed there, I want to encourage at least our listening audience, as Mike has done, you be proactive. You stand up for what you stand for. You stand up for the things of God. You be the one loud voice in the wilderness. You be the one that defends the faith. You be the one that goes to the council meeting if you have to. You be the one that goes to the school board meeting. And yes, though you might be maligned and persecuted, you be the one that defends what's important to God. See, God's heart is involved in the matter. This is why in America, when our foundations are cracking and are being weakened by liberalism and anti-God thought and removing important values out of our educational system and other places, this is why it's detrimental in the time that we have, this window, as Mike puts it, a reprieve time of what I would challenge everyone to say, you know, the few years that God's giving us right now, however long they are, to be the church and to stand and be proactive and be vocal. And so, anyways, I saw this happen in Romania. It went on for, we were over there for about 3 weeks, and there wasn't a meeting where you had a dry eye to see the hunger, even in young people jumping over other young people to grab one Bible, one beautiful Bible that Romania went, where Romania could not freely have under Ceausescu. And so there, the things have become very valued. Russia, with their family, they have family value laws. And these are countries that we took the Bibles to. These are countries that we've missionized. These are countries we have built churches in. And now, as Dimitri said, you know, our country needs missionaries, and our country needs to have people come and stand up for the things of God. And one other area, abortion, you know, getting back to Mike talking about being proactive and standing up. You know, don't let the killing of the preborn go challenged. I think that if we have this window of time, we, with God's help, we can still challenge things and the funding of Planned Parenthood and other things with tax dollars should be challenged. And so, you know, I've been so strongly in the last few days, it's just been in my heart how much we sin in silence. We just sin in silence. We don't stand up. We don't speak up. We don't be a strong voice like some of the pioneers in the faith, the Bonhoeffers, and even Dumitru in Romania. Believe me, he stood up for God. And if you know his testimony, you know that he stood up in front of a communist system and people that were anti-God, anti-evangelizing, and he stood up and was willing to die on the electric chair twice to defend smuggling Bibles and not to, you know, to tell the people, the security who he was working with. So, you know, we want to pray for America and pray that while we get this time, that there would be, you know, Nehemiah 4:14, fight for your children, your wife, your lands, you know, fight. And it says fight for these things, fight for these values. And one other point, Mike said, you know, I would be willing to, you know, take someone out that would attack his family. You know, I will say this, that I can tell you I would hope there'd be nobody on the line tonight that if somebody ran into your or tried to bust in your house and rape one of your kids or kill your spouse or do whatever, I would hope you didn't have the thought that I'm just passively going to do nothing. And like Mike said, he may get some heat for it. But you know what? He's making a point that there is a line of defense that God gives us wisdom and God gives us, you know, authority and God gives us his mindset on it. You know, police are armed and they have to deal with criminals. And you know what? In Romans, it talks about it, that God allows them to carry what? A weapon, to carry you know, the sword of justice, or however it's worded. I was looking for it a few minutes ago. But that police, those officers, are doing that, and it's ordained of God. Order would not be in a society if criminals had their way and could do what they want. Order, evil and wickedness and in a society has to be challenged, and God allows these people in those positions to carry a weapon and to be, you know, to be a body, an entity that keeps order in our cities, our towns, and our nation. And it's not saying I want to kill someone or having some bloodlust like, oh, it'd be great to take somebody out. It's the wisdom of saying, you know what, if this evil, which I did not ask for, was perpetrated on my family or my life, yes, I would consider defending my family, and I would consider defending my kids, and et cetera. And, you know, don't think God doesn't see, you know, the wisdom behind order in a society. I will tell you this, if we lose some of these rights, it's very easy to see that one day order could be gone. And, you know, one day in our cities, you know, if we keep getting right after right after right taken away, as Mike said tonight, and he said, you know, he's for the Second Amendment, but if these things keep getting chipped away at and removed, it can open the door to a lot of chaos and anarchy and very bad things. And so I just want to end the last few minutes I have by saying, be proactive, be a voice of change. Be somebody that stands for important values. They're important to God. And you might say, well, what can I do in my local town or community? Find out what's going on. Find out what's going on in your area that challenges things that are important to you. You know, find out around our country, the whole marijuana thing. You know, there's a push to legalize marijuana, not just medical marijuana, but the recreational use of marijuana. I'd like to say to everyone listening and those that will listen to the program, be proactive against this stuff, because, you know, it's almost like the church almost swallows, you know, the way the culture goes. If ultimately, they, you know, they almost like go, well, that's not so bad. They wouldn't call marijuana dope, and they wouldn't say that it's a very transitional drug to other drugs if there wasn't a detriment to it. And we, as the church, cannot fit in with the culture and let go and let live when these are things that grandpa 50 or 60 years ago would go, you're telling me in Portland, Oregon, you can smoke marijuana on a public street and nothing bad will happen to you. I can tell you clearly that at least the grandparents that I had and others, the thought that you can smoke dope legally would have been reprehensible to them. And the thought that you can go out and some of these laws are okaying this and okaying that would be reprehensible to them. I think we need to get back to the sober thought that unless we fight for the values, we'll lose them. Unless we stand for the things that are important to God, we will lose ground. And it's, you know, they tell me in Washington, D.C., where pot is legal, they said that around the downtown of D.C., you can smell marijuana in the air. How do you think people coming from other countries visiting our cities are seeing this? And I've had people tell me that when you go to D.C., you can literally smell pot smoke in certain areas of the community, of the area. And it's just crazy. And no, we're not old-fashioned. And no, we're not too far right. And no, we're not too rigid. I guarantee you, we need to get back to the old path and the things that are important and values that America once cherished. And just because the country's sliding down into the hole of compromise and indigence doesn't mean we as the church got to slide with it. The church has to be the resisting factor against evil. The church has to be the warring factor. Yes, God wars for us. God is with us. God will fight with us. But I guarantee you, God still uses soldiers in the church to battle and to be strong and to fight for what's right in front of our God. And so I just want everyone to, you know, have these thoughts tonight. As Mike brought up again, as they try to erode Second Amendment rights, and we start seeing where that goes, you're just seeing, again, missing the point that I believe some of these shooters, there were many warning signs. The Columbine shooters, many warning signs of those two guys months before they shot up Columbine, that they were telling friends that they had this plan. And many shootings around the country, there were Facebook posts or this kind of thing going on. And many times the ball was dropped when people should have been reported and done something about it. So I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. That was my little 30 minutes worth to kind of encourage us that don't stay silent, you know, and don't stand back and watch things change for the worse. Be the change agent for the Lord. God bless you all. We will put the program up tomorrow on YouTube, and it will be archived on Blog Talk Radio. Keep Mike in your prayers for feeling better, and may God bless your night. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.